In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We've just had the children read the Gospel to us, which we're very pleased to heard. I'll just remind you again of the details of that passage. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, the Jewish place of worship, and he's teaching as it seems he does a number of times in the Gospel of Luke. And then, as he's teaching, he sees a woman who is bent over, who we read is crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, if we just pause for a moment and just think how difficult it would be for this woman who is bent over. Just think of how can you speak to people. It's very difficult. She would not be able to make friends very easily because she cannot speak to people face to face. We do not read of any family with her. And so it seems most likely she was on her own, just struggling to exist. And of course, this was a time where there wasn't any government help. If you could not work, then, and if your family could not help you, then you are forced to beg. And so when we stop to think about this woman in our situation, certainly I wonder, and maybe you do as well, is how she managed to survive even 18 years like this, bent over, probably begging, as we said, helpless and rather hopeless. But Jesus sees her, calls her out to the front, and he lays his hand upon her, and he says, "Woman, be free of this infirmity." So she stands up straight. She gives glory to God. And we think that was the end of the passage of this account. But we find then the synagogue ruler. He speaks not directly to Jesus, but to the woman and there everyone else in the synagogue. There are 6 days to work. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. Well, Jesus doesn't leave it at that. He speaks to this person and those with him. He says, "You hypocrites, on the Sabbath you untie your donkey and your ox and you lead them to water. Should not this woman who has been bound for 18 long years by Satan, this woman, a daughter of Abraham, should not she be released from that which has bound her?" And of course, the people who opposed this healing, they were humiliated. But those who saw the wonderful things that Jesus was doing, they rejoiced. Let us just briefly consider this passage and thinking especially of Jesus' ministry there, both here and in Luke's Gospel. When we come to this, and in fact we have 4 points, our first point is that Jesus preaches good news to the poor. And when we look at this, this woman really was poor. She was struggling, as we said, finding it hard to even live and exist. And it immediately reminds us also of that passage in Luke chapter 4. You remember the story? Jesus is in the synagogue. And he's handed a scroll, because there were not books in those days, but scrolls. So he opens it up to that passage in what we call Isaiah 61. And there he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty for the prisoners, restoration of sight for the blind, and to free those oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus indicated that this was fulfilled in him. And so when we stop and look at Luke's Gospel, we see that's what Jesus did. He preached good news to the poor, to people like this woman. In fact, when we look at Luke's gospel, we understand the poor, not necessarily the physically poor, but those right on the edge of the society, those who other people counted almost as nothing. We can think, for example, of the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, who was considered unclean, or the sinful woman who was probably a prostitute who washed Jesus' feet, or even Zacchaeus, who in fact was quite wealthy, but cheated people and collected taxes for the Romans, and he was hated. So we see then that Jesus proclaimed good news for the poor here in Luke's gospel. And that reminds us, of course, that we too have a great gospel, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is good news also for people who come, for those who feel helpless and hopeless. It is good news for those who are experiencing guilt and sin. So we should not be embarrassed by this message. It is a message of good news. But let us look secondly at our second point. We also see that Jesus sought out this woman and brought her salvation from the situation that she was in. He calls her to the front. You know, he doesn't just leave her there. She doesn't come to Jesus, but he actually seeks her out. She probably thought that she could not be seen, that she would not be noticed. But Jesus seeks her out, calls her to the front, and then we find he brings her relief from what she was suffering. He lays his hand upon her, as we said, "Woman, be free of this infirmity." But not only that, when she was healed, he stands up for her against the synagogue ruler, and he also calls her a daughter of Abraham. He recognizes her, brings her in to the people of God. In fact, Jesus once described his ministry like this. He says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And we see that with the story of Zacchaeus, the same type of thing. You know Zacchaeus, the tax collector? We've already mentioned him. But he's small, he's disliked, and he wants to see Jesus. So what does he do? He climbs a tree, the sycamore tree. He hides himself up there, and he thinks no one can find him. No one can see him. But Jesus goes to the bottom of the tree, says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay with you." And we know the story, that he goes off with Zacchaeus, which Jesus does. They have food together. And then after this time of conversation, Zacchaeus calls Jesus Lord. There is your belief. He turns away from his way of life, which was wrong. His love of money, his cheating. He gives away half his money to the poor. He also says that he will give back four times as much to any who he's cheated out of this money. And what does Jesus say? "Today salvation has come to this house, for this man is a son of Abraham." You see, not only did he seek him out and save him, but that included coming into the people of God. Just one further example. Think of the story of the lost sheep. There's the shepherd with the 100 sheep, and one goes missing. It would die if the shepherd did not find it. So the shepherd goes and looks for it, finds it, saves it, brings it back on his shoulders, rejoicing, and then returns it to the sheep there. So what we find here in Luke's gospel is a model of ministry, a model of mission. Jesus seeks out and saves, and that includes bringing into the people of God. And when we turn to Acts, it's very much the same type of thing. The disciples, when they receive the Holy Spirit, they do not just wait there in Jerusalem, waiting for people to come and to hear about the good news of Christ Jesus. But they go out and seek and take that message with them. Just think for a moment of Philip. He sees the Ethiopian eunuch in the chariot. And what does he do? He doesn't just let it go by. He runs up alongside it and then explains the message that this Ethiopian eunuch was reading from Isaiah, and then baptizes him. Think of the people like Paul and the rest of the apostles, the disciples that go out doing this missionary work. They don't just stay there. They go to different places, different cities, to the Gentiles. And when people believe, they do not just leave them there as believers, lots of little believers everywhere. No, they bring them together into the people of God. Not even Gentile churches and Jewish churches, but both together as one. So we see here, for ourselves here at St. Ursula's, a model of mission that we seek and we bring and we speak about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ Jesus. A third point, as we look at this passage, we also see that Jesus has total victory over the devil. He has no problem healing this woman, who we read was oppressed in some way by a spirit, was bound in some way by Satan. When we look back to Luke chapter 4, we find the same type of thing. Victorious in his temptations. You know the story of the temptations of Jesus in the desert. When he faces the demons, they say, "Holy One of God, have you come to destroy us?" And of course, the answer is yes. We read in Luke's Gospel that he casts out demons by the finger of God. And this isn't just in Luke's Gospel. But when we go to Acts, we find again the believers go out in the light of this victory. Paul describes his ministry to King Agrippa, bringing people from darkness into light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. And that reminds us that we do not have to be fearful of Satan, of the devil. I'm not suggesting that there's a big problem here, but in some churches they so emphasize the work of the devil and Satan that people are fearful and anxious. A few times when I was in Pakistan, I remember people coming to Pakistan, a completely new culture for them. And they were saying things like, "Oh, we feel evil here." And they were actually quite fearful and anxious. But we know that Satan is defeated. And we go out in the light of that victory. And as believers in our mission, in our speaking of the gospel, we have no need to fear. One last point, our fourth point. We notice that Jesus was motivated by love and compassion. And really, that was the difference between Jesus, who's described as Lord here, who has authority to teach, and this synagogue leader. This synagogue leader had no love, no compassion. He wasn't concerned about that woman at all. He had some form of theology, but no love and compassion. But for Jesus, he was concerned for that person. And that reminds us also that as we speak about the gospel to others, as we bring other people in, our motive is to be of love and compassion. You know, sometimes we can get caught up thinking of building up the church or increasing the roll number. But no, our first motive should surely be that, like the Lord Jesus, to help others, to have one of love and concern for others. We've looked over this passage. We considered it in the light of Luke's Gospel. We've seen that Jesus has preached good news to the poor, this woman here who is crippled. We've noticed that he sought out and he brought into the people of God. And also, he was victorious over the devil. And he was motivated by love and compassion. May we at St. Ursula's follow our Lord's example. May the Lord bless his word to your heart.